Welcome to E-Commerce Insiders, a journey to success, where we dive deep into the heart of e-commerce, uncovering the secrets behind successful online stores and the entrepreneurs who run them. Hosted by Chris Morano, each episode includes insights, strategies, and inspirational stories designed to guide e-commerce store owners on their journey to building remarkable brands. Whether you're starting up or scaling up, we're here to light the way, sharing the experiences of those who have made their mark. Let's get ready to build your dream brand together.
Welcome back to E-Commerce Insiders, a journey to success, where we peel back the layers of e-commerce success stories to give you the insights you need to elevate your brand. Today, we're thrilled to have Eric Helm, a visionary entrepreneur whose knack for spotting opportunities has led him to create reconvert.io, a powerhouse suite on the Shopify App Store now serving countless brands worldwide. From his early days of navigating the world of dropshipping to revolutionizing post-purchase customer experiences, Eric's journey is a testament to innovation, persistence, and the relentless pursuit of growth. Join us as we dive into the strategies that have revolutionized and transformed a simple idea into a thriving e-commerce solution, and discover how you too can leverage technology to skyrocket your brand's success. Let's get into the interview. Today, we're excited to have Eric Haim, the founder of Reconvert, a company that's a suite of Shopify apps powering over 40,000 brands worldwide. Eric has a passion for innovation, keen eye for business opportunities, and we're super excited to have him on today's show. So it's a pleasure to have you on today, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this.
Great. Well, first off, you know, as we had mentioned, this is really focused on e-commerce. So what I want to get into is kind of some questions about who you are and your background in the world of e-commerce and Shopify.
All right, cool. So I started, it's almost 10 years ago. It's about 9 years ago. I just got out of the Israeli army and I was kind of looking for something to do with myself. My English level wasn't as good as it is right now, and I knew nothing about computers in general or business in general. But a good friend of mine, he heard about this thing called dropshipping, and he said, you know, there's this cool platform called Shopify. Let's try and run our own store. So we really decided to drop everything, and we moved from Tel Aviv back in the day to Beersheba, which is kind of south part of Israel, just to be remote, to have no distractions, you know, friends and everything. So we can really focus on building the business from scratch. And we really didn't have a lot of knowledge back in the day. At the beginning, we started as a very, I mean, I can talk about that, but we had a few pivots between different types of e-commerce stores. Eventually, we managed, after a few years, it's been a struggle, but we managed to scale it up to about $1 million in monthly revenue. And eventually, I decided to exit that business and open my own kind of SaaS product.
Sure.
Following what I love doing.
That's awesome. Let me ask, before we get into the SaaS product, because I want to talk about that because I know the value it brings, and I'm sure you do as well, but let's go over a little bit about the scaling to $1 million for your previous store before the exit. So I guess first question would be, what type of products were you selling? Was it drop shipping or direct to consumer?
So it was, at the beginning, it was a classic dropshipping store, but the model, the business model was a little bit different from the classic, I don't know, AliExpress type of dropshipping.
Sure.
We took a course from two guys that we knew back in the day about, they were selling sex toys and they were only advertising on Google. So we tried doing something similar. They recommended contacting manufacturers within the US and try selling it to the US. So we did some niche research. Eventually, we decided to go with MMA and boxing equipment. So okay. We started contacting all the major brands, Title Boxing, Ringside. I don't remember the names anymore, but we had a bunch of them. So we did get some sort of a reseller agreement from there. They did give us a nice discounts to start dropshipping. They did allow it, which was nice. But we started having a lot of other major issues around managing stock, because they didn't have some sort of an integration, an API integration or anything like that that helped us really understand the quantities. So the products were good. They were, mm-hmm. I mean, branded products that are well familiar within the community of trainers in that field of MMA and boxing. But we couldn't track stock, and you have thousands of variants for each type right. of product. You have, like, if you have boxing gloves, you have sizes and you have colors and you have all of that. And it was impossible to track stock. And we started having a lot of these orders where you're just getting the product, but I mean, you get the order, but it's out of stock. And then you start realizing that people actually found it in your store because they were looking for it on another store. They couldn't find it, and then they order from you, but you don't really have it on stock. So that was kind of one of the struggles. Another kind of big issue that we had is we couldn't hack the marketing side of things. We did focus on Google. We did a lot of great work there. I think it taught us a lot about the Google Ads and Google Shopping and a bunch of other things. The issue there, I mean, there were a few things that we didn't understand back in the day. Once we realized them, it kind of helped us move in the right direction. But that's kind of how we started.
All right. Now, what year was this?
I think 2015, 15 or 14, somewhere okay. in between.
So before yeah. pre-COVID manufacturing and shipping issues.
Yeah, I mean, these issues were always there. Sure. We didn't experience them for sure because we didn't have to do anything with China back in the day.
Yeah.
Only I think around 2017 or 18, we started doing this. No, maybe a little bit earlier. I'm not sure about the timeline exactly, yeah. to be honest.
So you mentioned the marketing side of it. Were you guys finding that Google was really the number one, you know, platform for you guys on a direct-to-consumer searching for a specific type of boxing glove, training shorts, shoes, whatever that was?
So we started with the assumption that Google is the most stable platform because it's mm-hmm. based on intent and based on search. And if you find winner there, it's just going to stay steady and, you know, throughout the entire year, as opposed to Facebook, where back in the day, I mean, still today, the ad fatigue is a real factor. Like, people watch your ad once or twice, and then it's just getting not as effective as it used to be. So right. we did use Facebook for retargeting and make sure, I mean, to increase conversions on kind of the higher part of the funnel. Sure. But Google was a little bit more robust. What we didn't realize, and that was kind of one of the biggest pain points, is we took this course from guys that used to sell sex toys. And mm-hmm. if you're selling sex toys, you're not allowed to advertise anywhere else other than Google. So they had tons of traffic because everything was going through there. And we didn't realize why we can't hit these numbers. We never got to the numbers of traffic that they used to get. So we struggled. We struggled for a long time. We also have very poor profit margins because we didn't have anything to compare to. It was our first store, but we really wanted, like, we wanted to go all in. So we just kept trying. We struggled for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Around that.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. Always the Google versus Facebook conversation. And then, of course, different industries on Google and Facebook and TikTok now, you know, you can't advertise. And, you know, CBD companies reach out to us all the time. And, you know, we just can't do anything other than search engine optimization for now. Before we get into Reconvert, so you went from the Israeli army to this isolated area to work on this business. What was the thought process behind, you know, starting your own business and then transitioning now again to starting your SaaS business?
So I think back in the day, me and my previous partner, we were pretty young. We were looking for, we really wanted to just push forward, you know, on our lives as a young entrepreneur. You just want to find something to do. We didn't think too much, but if we just look at the business model of dropshipping, it's just very comfortable. Everything is happening online. You can work from wherever you want. So actually we moved to this city, Be'er Sheva, and then actually I didn't say that, but we moved to Krakow in Poland for about 6 months. This is where the course creators that we took were there. So okay. we started, you know, hanging out with them and a bunch of other e-commerce owners. So we learned a lot from being around them and, you know, having the same mindset of just going all in, make it work somehow, keep pushing all the time. So that's what started kind of this route. I'm sorry, I have tons of noise here.
No worries.
And then, I mean, once we really grew it, I was always looking into different technologies for our store to keep it, you know, ahead of the curve mm-hmm. and really help us, you know, eventually there's a lot of competition. And if everybody uses the same platforms, eventually it's going to get crowded. And then, you know, right. the ROI going down and everything is just working like this. So I used to always find these new small technologies and implement them to our business as soon as possible. So I was kind of a geek for apps right from the very get-go. Eventually once we really scaled it up, eventually, so the story of how we got this, we turned it upside down and make it successful. And this is, I think, a super important takeaway to anyone who's just starting out, or even if you have a lot of experience in e-commerce, I think whenever there is a new platform, whenever there is a new thing that is getting, I don't know, a new marketing platform of whatever sort is out and it mm-hmm. has some sort of a pixel, it's super important that you'll implement it as soon as possible into your website. Even if you're not planning on advertising anytime soon, just have it there, because the amount of data that you're gathering over it is gold. It's golden. We were advertising on Google for, I think, 2.5 years, nonstop, optimizing, can't get the goals. We couldn't get the results we wanted. Mm-hmm. There was one category in specific out of tens of thousands of SKUs we were managing that actually were profitable. But we had to sell it very expensive because it was, I think we got it for like $50 and we sold it for like $70. Again, very thin margins and it was sauna suits by Tidal Boxing, RDX, and a bunch of other of these brands. But the Facebook pixel that we built got so strong. So we had so much data around it. Mm-hmm. So what we decided to do is we just pivoted to a new store that is much leaner. We found a sauna vest on AliExpress that costs like, I don't know, $6. And then we started advertising it for like $90 to the same audience in a lookalike. Right. And suddenly, boom, everything explodes. And from there, I mean, the way up was much quicker. Everything started working out. And, you know, from there to start managing the supply chain, starting managing the manufacturing, optimizing the quality of the product, starting actually building a brand around it, warehouses and all that. But that's for me, that was when I really decided to kind of go out, because I really realized it's not something that I like doing. Mm-hmm. So I decided to switch it around. Just another pivot. Again, for me, it's pretty much it felt a part of the same journey.
Right. You've reached a certain milestone and then determined it was time to shift gears and take your experience onto something else.
Yeah. I mean, optimizing business, it's always around what will take you to the next level personally. Different people have different goals. My goal was a little bit different than my previous partner. So I decided to exit the business. He now owns the entire thing. And I just moved on to my next venture, which it's a company that I'm now building with my sister. We're very happy about the way it's working out. Yeah.
So then that's the perfect segue to Reconvert. So why don't you give our listeners just a rundown of Reconvert? I mean, cause I think there's a lot of value in just understanding the immense power that this tool has.
So it all started, you know, if you're doing e-commerce in general, you get tons of ideas and tons of problems you're trying to solve every day. So back in the day, I started just writing down all the issues that I found during my day-to-day operations. And we started using One-Click Upsell by Ezra mm-hmm. Firestone that back in the day was in a separate checkout. It wasn't working with the native Shopify checkout. And it was great because we saw the uplift in AOV. If you build an upsell funnel that is defined the right way, you can really optimize your profits in an insane way. Like 15, 20% is ideal, but anywhere between even 5%, if you're a high volume, it's insane.
Yep.
The revenue and the AOV. So we used this app and I remember one specific case, but it happened every once in a while. Because we used a separate checkout, there were a lot of integration issues. And I'm not blaming OCU or Ezra, they're cool guys, great product, nothing against them. But back in the day when it was a separate checkout, a lot of integration issues. For example, one time there was an issue with the shipping integration and for like 6 hours, the checkout just didn't work. So we kept advertising on Facebook. I don't know how many thousands of dollars went to to the trash that day because just checkout didn't work. Right. And it's an external app. It's not even the Shopify checkout. So you can't really reach out to the Shopify support. So that's when I decided, okay, first of all, we decided to stop using that app back in the day. And I decided that I'm going to build something similar, but for a native checkout. And back in the day, it was just the thank you page. It wasn't like this post-purchase page wasn't available. Right now, today in Reconvert, just to give like a quick rundown of yeah. what Reconvert is. So Reconvert is basically an upsell funnel app for Shopify, strictly for Shopify. We are soon launching on Wix, but it's a different story. So it's an upsell funnel builder for Shopify with advanced segmentation. So you can make sure that it's always the right fit for the right customer at the right time. If you're on Shopify Plus, then it starts from the checkout. You can actually add upsell widgets to the checkout. And then from there, after the customer completes the payment, which is, by the way, why we decided to focus on post-purchase upsells as opposed to pre-purchase upsells. Once the customer complete the purchase and already paid you the money he owes you, only then you can display a set of two post-purchase offers. This is new pages that you can add between the checkout and the thank you page. So these are pages that are otherwise just not, do not exist. And right. then the customer can either accept or decline these offers. If he accepts them, he's automatically getting charged with a single click and being redirected to the thank you page without having to re-enter his payment details. And then on the thank you page, we also have an advanced editor with a bunch of different widgets. So most merchants use it, not most, but a lot of merchants are using it strictly for upselling, but you can do a lot of other things with it. From the thank you page, you know, eventually it's a page that by default is just kind of an exit door from the store on Shopify. And if you look at any other huge retailer out there, this page usually is packed with a lot of different offers and different opportunities for the customer to either give you more information about himself so you can better segment that and better off, I mean, make better offers or just resell right then and there.
Wow.
So, yeah, so, that's the thing.
I mean, I personally know about Reconvert. So for our listeners who are either, you know, kind of figuring out how to increase, give them a breakdown about like the value of the AOV. For those, you know, who are listening who don't know, average order value, the money spent on advertising as an agency owner, and Eric as somebody who owned an e-commerce business now doing Reconvert, the amount of money we spend on ads is absolutely insane. Yeah. So if we are basing our metrics off of certain margins, profit needs to remain at this level. By driving the same amount of traffic, you're able to increase your profit by X percent based on increasing your average order value. And I think a lot of people forget about how important that is for their businesses, because it's like, hey, we're getting a ROAS of 3.5X on Facebook. Google's delivering at a 5.2, you know, and you kind of get accustomed to having these numbers as your baseline kind of success rate. But in increasing your AOV by a tool like Reconvert, upsells, cross-sells, even downsells, you're able to increase those ROAS numbers without increasing your ad spend.
Exactly. So if you look at it this way, it's actually a marketing hack in a way. It's not really. It's a CRO thing. It's all around AOV. But eventually, your ROI, your ROAS is going to get better wherever you advertise. It's less. We actually have a CRO agency we work with. They called Prism Fly, and this guy told me, like, every time we're having a new client, the first test we're running is with or without Reconvert. That usually pays for my salary for a year in advance. So that's and then I feel comfortable doing smaller tasks that might be better or worth. I'm not sure, but yeah, definitely. And there is one thing that is even more important to understand, I think, when it comes to increasing your AOV post purchase. It's different because you get your ROAS on your initial sale, and then from there it's pure revenue. And this is, you can consider that as a whole new sale that you can make without the ad spend to take in consideration. So the amount, the discount you can give can be bigger. You don't need to calculate the ad spend into these upsells. You can make it more attractive. That's completely fine. And it's definitely boosting I mean, you can consider that together. For me, what I found back in the day when I was a merchant, I used to consider this part of the funnel as a whole new sell that I can take it. I mean, just make it more attractive for customers. Right. In terms of revenue, you can see it really depends on the type of store, what they're selling, how they're advertising, what funnel exactly that they went through. But you can see usually a boost in revenue. Extreme cases, you can see 15%. Usually with one click, you can get it to like 2 to 3%. And after some optimization, you can get it to like 5, 7% if you're doing well, if you're really taking this seriously, then that's not a problem.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's exactly what I have. So give me a little background about growing Reconvert. So we went from the e-commerce dropshipping, you know, into kind of a D2C format now to Reconvert. What did that timeline look like? And what are some of the challenges you've experienced in growing Reconvert?
I mean, that was growing the app business was for me much easier than it was growing the e-commerce business. I think, first of all, it was because I got a lot of experience until this point. And I've seen what it's like to have a successful business running and working. And second, you know, I started as a marketer. And most of the developers in the App Store, at least back then, were developers, and they didn't know much about marketing. So I used pretty much all the growth hacks that I had back in the day, from running the e-commerce business on the App Store, and it was much easier back in the day. Of course, I mean, some ASO, App Store optimization, some ads, basic ads, it wasn't, back then it wasn't available on Shopify, but on Google and Facebook, nobody used to advertise on these platforms, Reddit, Bing, a bunch of smaller long tail platforms that nobody used back in the day, so it was highly profitable.
Right.
Finding developers was hard at the beginning. We in the e-commerce store, we did have a single developer back in the day to kind of help us with some stuff, but it wasn't the core to the business. It wasn't super important to us to make sure that the software he's writing, the code he's writing is super professional and clean and all of that. Once you're starting to build your own software business, it's a whole different story, and you need to know how to find good developers at affordable rates. Because now you have a team of like 8 developers and not, I don't know, 2 or 3. So we did start with 2 or 3, but we were looking for an agency that can then easily add more developers if needed. We got featured by Shopify, I think, 1 week after we went live, and we got, I think, 1,000 installs on the first month. From there, we just kept building. We were focusing on customer support. Every waking hour for me was on the live chat, providing the best support I can, asking for reviews, asking for feedback to get the product better. And based on customer feedback, it was so much easier to grow the product. When we started, we didn't even have an upsell product. We just had a thank you page builder and no upsells, nothing to really increase revenue. Right. And the first thing, because I knew it's more complex if you want to work with this API from Shopify to get products, and then you need to manage stocks and locations and currencies and a bunch of other stuff. So we decided to start without it. Of course, everybody were asking for it, and then we started building it. The next thing people started asking for is everything around segmentation. You know, I have this type of customer. I want to show him this. I want to only show it to repeating customers or old customers, and I want to, I don't know, based on specific product and all these types of segmentation. So we created this robust segmentation system that works pretty well.
It's amazing. Yeah. Now, have you guys built any integrations? I know Shopify over the last handful of months kind of just acquired per se or partnered with Klaviyo, which historically has been a remarkable for segmentation and building customer lists. Have you guys had any integrations yet in that space for email?
So, yeah, I mean, we do have integration with both Klaviyo, OmniSend, MailChimp, and SMS Bump. But this is just for sending. We do collect customer birthdays on the thank you page, which is another great example of what you can do with the thank you page. There is zero risk. If you do it on the thank you page, you don't lose anything. There's no chance he's going to give you his birthday but not make a purchase. There's 0% chance of that. Right. So we did create an integration between that widget and Klaviyo, and then you can easily create a happy birthday flow on Klaviyo. We have also training for that, to set it up and all that, because a lot of merchants are not sure how to set up date-based campaigns flows on Klaviyo. So we have these integrations. We also have some integrations with the popular reviews apps like Lux, JudgeMe, Stamp.io, to just show, you know, star reviews below the product upsells. And we have some recommendations. Like if you want to use, we do have an integration with the default Shopify recommendation system if you want to display product recommendations based on the Shopify algorithm. But if you want, if you have another app you use like Rebuy or Wiser or a bunch of these, Recomatic, so we have an integration with those to display the products in our own widgets, but using the algorithm for the recommendations from these other apps. So that's also something you can do. And of course, you know, you can display specific products if that's something you're up for.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's like I said, knowing personally the tool itself, it is remarkable. How are you finding staying up to date with latest trends in technology? So we all know there's new platforms coming out all the time. There's new marketing ideas. How are you guys finding the kind of fast paced e-commerce environment for your business?
Yeah, I think it's endless. And I think from my experience, if you look at e-commerce, there are a few pillars that are, I mean, keeping your store alive. You have the support and the product, you have the marketing, you have the conversion rate optimization. So all of these things, you need to optimize around them. And you can use these technologies to always keep optimizing these things that you're doing. Like I am as a merchant back in the day, used to go to the app store almost on a daily basis just to see new apps that comes up. Because by the way, this is a great tip. If there is a new app that is cool with a new technology, you can actually reach out to them. There is a good chance they're going to grandfather you for life. We have still some apps that were like, you're going to get forever the app for free just for giving them the feedback as a real merchant. They're like, they really, they have thirst for that. They really need this. So and then you also ahead of everyone else. So like, you can do this as a merchant. I'm doing the same as an app developer, especially now with AI that's exploding all over the web. But you need to stay realistic. Eventually, I really want to take WeConvert also to the next level and also have marketing automation inside, and, you know, include SMS and email. We do have another product for that. That's a whole other story. But you can use these different technologies in a way that, again, going to help you optimize either the product, the support, the marketing, and the conversion optimization. So it must be around these areas. But you need to stay realistic. Eventually, there is so much you can do in so much time. And it's very easy to look around, you know, the girl in the red dress and, oh, that's cool, let's try this. And then it's like you work a few months on this instead of focusing on the main product.
Right.
So we try to bring it in. Nothing super critical. We keep our eyes open and we add everything to the backlog pretty much.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I think as an entrepreneur, business owners, it's easy to squirrel all the time and just these ideas come and really focusing in. You mentioned AI. Have you guys began the investigation into how AI can be better used in CRO and product recommendations?
So yeah, of course, we've been doing that actually for a long time. We've been working on integration. So before even this entire boom started, there was a new AI product, an API by Amazon called Amazon Optimize, I think, which basically allows you to integrate with their recommendations API, which is a super powerful AI. And we are working on having this algorithm as a part of the app. So you're going to be able to use Amazon recommendations on your own store. So that's was one of the things we were trying. Business-wise, we took a day, almost even more than a day, for the entire company to stop everything and find out how can AI power their own work. And we found amazing tools for the development team, for the content team. Of course, there's like, it's endless. The support team, everything that we do now, we try to think, we try to find the latest tools we can implement to the product. I mean, the easiest thing to do, just, you know, to look like everyone, is just to add this magic button that's generate text, but I think it's kind of empty. I think everybody can go to ChatGPT and do it on their own. We are trying to find ways to do it in a way that is really more impactful for merchants. So also, if you look around A/B testing and the way to optimize different tests. I think if you set up a way for tests to be automatically tested, look for statistical significant and stop on their own and automatically recognize the next test and test it on its own, there is tons of value to it. If you look at the right offer, the right discount, the right product, keep optimizing it all the time without the merchants have to do anything. I think that's way more impactful than just, I don't know, generating a random text line. I think it's just more powerful.
For sure. Now, for our listeners and viewers, who is like the ideal store for Reconvert?
We are trying all the time to build it as a product that is a good fit for all stores. And as a general rule of thumb, we don't want to take any revenue if we don't generate at least 10x return on it. So we have a very generous base plan for base stores. If you're in a development store, it's free. You can play with it for as long as you want. As long as you don't upgrade to a paid plan, then it's not an issue. And then it goes from $5 a month for stores with less than 50 orders per month. And it goes all the way up to $800 a month, but it really depends on the scale. In terms of features, we made it so simple. And this is something that I think that we really focused on at the beginning. We have a feature called Magic Designer. So we automatically sync it to your theme, make sure that the design looks exactly like your own theme. We withdraw all the language settings. So if you have a Japanese store, it's automatically going to be in Japanese. So everything is going to be. And so we created a pre-built funnel that you can. The only thing that you need to do if you want to just get started in a single click and have a whole funnel, post-purchase, two post-purchase offers, upsells, downsells, and a whole optimized thank you page in your own language and design. The only thing you need to do is just pick your maximum discount, and we're going to do the rest. We're going to spread the discount across the funnel to make sure that you don't overgive or just, you know, you want to start with a smaller thing and then increase it as they go if they didn't optimize for, if they didn't opt for the offer. So if you just do that, you can get started. So we understand that it's also important for busy merchants or just merchants that don't want to mess with that. You just want to get the additional thing. And if you do want to customize everything and you do want to go to more advanced settings, also some stores have, you know, multi-location, multi-currency, multi-language and all of that. We have the settings for that. You can do that. It's not a problem. So we really tried to build it for everyone. I think the ideal store would be a store that want to increase their conversion rate and AOV, but the average ROI is well over 4,000%, which is something we're really proud of.
That's amazing. I mean, those metrics are huge. I mean, they're so important, especially for growing stores. So you've described AOV, how you guys build out the funnel. What would your elevator pitch be to somebody listening or watching this to say, you know, is there a 30-day trial? Is there, you know, you said $5 for anything under 50. I mean, that's a low price point. So the barrier to entry shouldn't be challenging to anybody. But what would your elevator pitch be to get someone to sign up and at least give it a try on their Shopify store?
I have the same thing for everyone. First of all, we do have a 30-day free trial, but if I only have the elevator time, then I will ask someone if he's doing anything for their post-purchase experience, post-purchase page and thank you page. If not, I really don't care if they use Reconvert or another tool, but they must use this. It's not doing that. It's just dumb. I don't mind. Go with my competitors. That's fine. There's plenty of room for everyone. But as a merchant who's looking to another merchant in the eyes, if you're not optimizing this, you're just leaving money on the table, and your chances to just be so much more successful are getting lost. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, of course, if you have 30 days, if you didn't generate enough revenue during the 30 days, usually one day is enough to see the results. If you have, let's say, more than $500 per month, one day you're going to see that it's working. Eventually, it's a numbers game. You need to have a certain amount of orders. If not, then, I mean, you just need to wait until you do have some orders because you have eventually conversion rate over the conversion rate. You have conversion rate for orders, and then out of the orders that coming through, you have conversion rate for the offers. So it's like maybe 2 or 3%, 5% of orders are going to be converted. So don't wait for 10 orders that are not converted and wait for it. And other than that, you know, if the ROI is not there, just reach out to us. We're going to do something about it. There's 0% reason, 0% chance that this app is not going to be profitable for any merchant.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So we're nearing the end of today's episode. Where can people find more information about you? obviously in the Shopify app store. Give us the rundown where people can find you. We'll also leave a link in the show notes in the description.
So first of all, you can always go to reconvert.io. We also prepared for our listeners a very nice CRO book based on with 35 tips related to conversion rate optimization. Just go to reconvert.io/CRO and check it out. It's very nice. On the App Store, you can just search for either Reconvert or Upsell. Both ways are going to come up first. And yeah, I think that's it. We also have a YouTube channel with tons of tutorials. Most of them are around Reconvert and post-purchase optimization, but there is a lot of information for e-commerce merchants in general. We try to help all of them. We also just started a new journey of opening a Shopify store and documenting the entire process to show people how to start from scratch, which I think can also be very interesting for some of the listeners.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Everybody make sure to check out reconvert.io. Go to your Shopify app store. Give it a try. The link will be in the description and the show notes. Eric, do you have anything else you want to finish off for our listeners today?
I just want to say, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. I really had a good time and I appreciate listening. And I apologize for all the noises and stuff working, you know, from here. Just moved to another location. And yeah, I would like to also hook everyone who's listening to this podcast with a 10% lifetime discount. We can do this in the description. Up to you. Just let me know.
That's awesome. Well, thank you very much for that offer. I hope that everyone listening and watching definitely signs up for Reconvert. As an agency owner who works with multiple e-commerce brands and owns some myself, very familiar in the values there, especially with the increasing cost of advertising on Google and Facebook. It's trying to pinch every penny out of your margins, and this tool will absolutely do that. So, Eric, I want to thank you again for coming on today's show. I think the value is amazing, and the tool, like I said, is fantastic.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care. We'll see you guys in the next episode.